Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty, welcome back in. This is Zach Yelp Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. There's a new podcast out, just launched today, In the Bayou, with Tyra Matthew and Terrell McCall, and both these gentlemen are kind enough to join us right now. Honey Badger and Terrell, appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much for it. How are you guys?
No problem. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Honey man. Thanks for having us on, man.
Yeah, Tyra, I got to start you off, because now you're in this new venture. You're trying to figure out life after football. Yeah. Why did you think it was time to walk away from the game, just wondering?
Well, for me, man, the short answer is, man, I think I'm ready for the next chapter in my life. I was able to have a great career. I was able to accomplish some great things. I played for some great players. Mm-hmm. I played with some great players, played under some great coaches, right? And I can honestly look in the mirror and say, man, I'm ready for whatever life, has next for me, So, man, it was a hell of a ride. I enjoyed it. And, it definitely meant a lot to me, man, especially when I went through at LSU. And then to have the type of career I had, man, I got so many people to thank, right? Like so many fans and supporters, but most importantly, man, my family and friends and just all those type of people that really supported me, man, the last 12, 13 years.
I was checking out the pod this morning. I was doing my old man workout on the elliptical, and I said, let me just jump on YouTube and kind of check this out. So, Terrell, for people that are going to be tuning in for the first time and be checking out the episode, what can people expect?
Now, you guys can expect a lot of great episodes from us. A lot of guys that maybe play some ball with Tyron. We're going to get the fans to chime in on that. Get some guys up, have some great interviews. Tell you guys a few stories that nobody in the world knows, but I'm definitely going to share it with you guys. Just about the things that me and Tyron went through, just life here in the Bayou and just being from NOLA.
Well, let's be real, Terrell. Everyone has that friend that's really successful growing up, and you love him. But then there's also a part of you that are like, all right, this guy's too good at everything. What is one thing that you're better at than Tyron Matthew?
I would say probably track, man. Probably track. Yeah, I won 4 high school state championships. I fared out pretty well with that. He just was a little more athletic,
That's awesome. Alrighty, so Tyron Matthew, clearly the biggest question these days when it comes to LSU is who the heck is going to be their next head football coach. What's your intel on this right now? What are you thinking?
Well, for me, I think first and foremost, man, we want to wish Brian Kelly, the best going forward. I think Frank being named interim coach was really, really important for a few different reasons. He's going to provide them with some stability, going into the back half of the season. And then, too, man, I think we can count on Frank as far as recruitments go and all that type of deal because, Frank is a Louisiana guy, through and through. He's from New Orleans. And so, recruiting in this state means a ton to him, which is what I think the Tigers need to get back to. They need to figure out a way to retain, the Justin Jeffersons and the Jamar Chases of the world, right? Because when we have those players that are from Louisiana, they play a little harder. They represent, the program the right way. So, whoever gets the nod, to be the next head coach, I think that guy should absolutely, represent everything Louisiana. He should love what he's doing. He should love being the head coach of LSU. And, I know Lane Kiffin was in town, a couple hours ago, right? And so I think that'll be a great hire. That's probably the safest hire, right? The safest bet. But, I think between Lane Kiffin and Frank Wilson, man, I wouldn't be mad if they chose either one of those guys.
We have no clue what the lane train's going to do. Like yesterday, I thought, all right, he's going to LSU. Then today, I think he's staying at Ole Miss. So if it's not Lane Kiffin, I kind of look at a Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. Maybe even you stay in the state and you take the Tulane coach, and John Sumrall has been rumored for Auburn. Like those are some other names that stand out to me too.
And too, man, I think it'll do well, for the donors and for administration, right? Because you can't keep handing out these $100 million contracts, right? And so how do we get a coach that's maybe lesser known, right? A coach that hasn't won as much, right? But maybe he only gonna cost us $2, $3, $4, $5 million a year, compared to, some of these coaches, making almost $15, $20 million a year. So I think if they are able to get a guy like Summerall or, even Dillingham, which I think both of those guys, I think they're ready for that next step, right? Because they've competed well within their own respective conferences, and their players seem to love them and gravitate towards them. So I do see those two guys, being the future, of college football coaching. But yeah, man, like I wouldn't be mad at any one of those names.
In the Bayou Out, new podcast, Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger, and Terrell McCall here with us. Terrell, how about you? You got a thought on who's going to be the next LSU head coach?
I didn't put too much of a thought into it. I'm hoping that we stay with the Purple Knight guy. I'm a Saint Augustine alumni. Frank is a Saint Augustine alumni, but that would be pretty cool though to have a guy that graduated from the same high school as you become the LSU head coach. That would be really dope. But I'm open to some other candidates too as well. Like you said, Lane is out there. I think that would be the safest bet too.
Well, how about you, Tyrann Mathieu? I'm not saying the head coach, but are you interested in dipping your toes into eventually coaching one day?
I think at some point, I'll definitely be a coach, man. Listen, football has always been, like my driving force, in life, along with my family. So, I thought I was going to play 20 years in the league, right? But I didn't, right? But I think if you look back over the course of my career and a lot of coaches that coached me, they all kind of endorsed me early on and said, man, you're going to be a great coach one day. So, obviously I know being a head coach at LSU is far-fetched, right? Like that's probably not even a percentage, but I think the idea of me being a part of the staff, whether on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side of the ball, man, I'll be more than willing to help LSU, man, because that program just means so much to me. It's done so much for me. And I know the importance of it. Like when LSU is playing well, man, this state is thriving. Everybody's doing a little bit better.
And obviously, a lot of people could win there because I've had three different coaches since 2000 win national championships. Let me ask you about one of your former teammates in Travis Kelce. You guys won a Super Bowl together. You guys were in Kansas City together for a little bit. Like, you just went through this when you realized, okay, it's time to hang it up. The last 2 years, the Taylor Swift stuff and then the retirement stuff, it's all been out there and everyone's been talking about it. What do you think Trav is going through right now while you're focused on playing, but you're maybe not at this really high level anymore and you're starting to see your game dip a little bit? Does your mind start to tell you, all right, maybe I can't focus on next week? I'm thinking about if this is going to be it for me playing in the NFL.
Man. You know what? It's tough, man. It's tough, man, because you play the game at a certain level, right? People know you for playing at a certain standard. And I think when you're a great player, man, like you can't be great forever, right? And so, like how do you give yourself some grace? I mean, he was able to accomplish a lot. He's had a great career. And I think, man, the idea of like putting stuff on tape that isn't reflective of the Kelce that we knew and grew accustomed to, I think it could leave a bad taste in people's mouth. And some people may just remember you for that, right? About how it didn't end well for you. So, yeah, man, I'm wishing him the best, man. I hope he makes the best decision for him. But yeah, man, you gotta know when to let go. I mean, that's just life, though. That's relationships. That's jobs. That's a lot of things, man. Like you have to know when to let go and just be able to live with it.
Terrell, obviously you've had some oh my goodness moments, but in Tyrann for as long as you have, or Tyrann Mathieu, just what was maybe something still to this day when you look back at knowing him when he's relatively unknown and then became such a big star that you go to yourself, man, I can't believe that the Honey Badger accomplished that.
Yeah, man. A lot of plays he made. Like I told him, one from his rookie year, he actually poked the ball out, and I was like, wow, this dude is back to his ways. Like, a year removed from football, I was like, wow, this is amazing.
By the way, Honey Badger, going back to the Chiefs, do you think they're missing the playoffs? Like they're 5-5 right now. We're not used to them having 5 losses in a season. It's week 11 and they got 5 losses.
Yeah, it's tough, man. And obviously, man, the thing that kind of sticks with me the most is that, a lot of these teams aren't necessarily scared of the Chiefs anymore, right? And you could see that. I watched the game the other day with the Broncos, man, and the Broncos were they looked like a confident, football team, a team that knew that they could play 4 quarters football, with the Chiefs. And I trust Mahomes though, man. I won a lot of games with that dude, and along with Coach Reid and Coach Spags, right? And so I anticipate those guys getting better, as the season goes on. It's tough, man. I think after a while, man, it's tough to replace, some of the skill sets that we were accustomed to with the Chiefs, and I think them not necessarily having a great running game, and obviously the receivers, they only played about 4 or 5 games with each other total, like the last 3 or 4 years, and so I think they need to be a little bit healthier too, but you got to get back to running the football, and you got to get back to doing that, man, controlling the game. I think the Chiefs are kind of letting it get away from them.
Well, I'll say this as a Patriot fan right now. My team was the top dog for all those years. People say they're vulnerable. Don't let them in the postseason, Kansas City. Because if
Exactly.
Kansas City gets in the postseason, I don't care if people think they're vulnerable or not, no one's going to want to play them. You know that.
Exactly, man. And that goes back to coaching. That goes back to, that three-headed monster, right? Like Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, right? Like if those dudes wake up one day on any given day and they have their best day, it's trouble for everybody in the NFL, I think those three guys will they're probably losing sleep right now, right? Like they're stuck in that office. They stuck in that facility until they figure out, what's how to get this team back on the right track.
You know the game, right? The defensive back jawing with the wide receiver. It happens every single time. The receiver giving it back to the defensive back. I love Ja'Marr Chase, but I couldn't believe that he spit in Jalen Ramsey's face the other day. Now he's going to be suspended for a game. I think he's going to appeal it. Just how did you react to that? Him being an LSU guy and a guy that you know very well.
Yeah, I mean, I was taken back by that. I know Jamar. I know his family. I know his dad. That's not how he was raised. That's not the Jamar that I know. The Jamar I know is a competitive guy that, loves his teammates, right? He wants to make those big plays in the game, but he's composed. He's always composed, right? And that just wasn't reflective of who he is as a person. And so I can understand why, Jalen responded or reacted the way that he did, because as athletes, man, it's like those unspoken rules, right? Like it's that unspoken language of, yeah, man, like I'm gonna take it there with you every play, but I'm not gonna cross that line with you. I'm not gonna disrespect you, right? And I think, one thing too is, Jamar needs to understand too, because he's still relatively young, right? And he needs to understand that he's the captain now. Joe Burrow isn't out there, right? Everybody in that stadium, everybody on that team is really looking to him, right? For leadership and execution and doing the right things and stuff like that. So yeah, man, like I would advise him to apologize, right? Maybe you reach out to Jalen personally, right? You apologize to him. I think that's what men do. And just be able to move on from it. But absolutely, never, never, never allow that to happen again.
Who was the wide receiver that you enjoyed going to battle up against the most in your career?
Man, I tell you, man, when I first came into the NFL, man, I got a good dose of grown man football. I had to deal with, Anquan Boldin,
Hell.
and I mean that guy there, man, just relentless. Even when he wasn't getting the ball, like right, like he was trying to put you in the dirt. So he was definitely one of the guys that I really remember, just those personal battles with,
Your
early on in my
practice is in
career.
Arizona, by the way. Larry Fitzgerald, right? It's like
Yeah,
that must have been unreal.
hey man, I remember hopping off the bus as a rookie, and my first duty, responsibility was to go in a slot and cover Larry Fitzgerald. And I thought, man,
Fun.
I might not make it through training camp. You know, this is gonna be tough, man. But I appreciated that, man, because Larry really taught me a lot, man. He helped me understand that, man, it's a craft to this sport, right? Like, we're not just waking up and relying on athleticism and you know, a good night's sleep. You know, like there's things to be learned. There's details within this game that if you're able to understand those and master those, you can have a great career. So yeah, it's kind of like iron sharpening iron, man. So yeah, he had me nervous at first when Bruce Arians told me, like, yeah, that's the dudes you're gonna be covering today. But you know, after a while, you begin to appreciate it.
You know, you look at someone like Kyler Murray. He's got the big contract, is hurt, was benched, isn't playing well. People start to say, okay, it looks like the Cardinals are going to move off of him in the near future. What advice would you give to him? And do you still see some optimism when it comes to his football career?
Yeah, I think Kyler is, you know, he's still under 30. I think he can, you know, if he can find a system that suits him best, I think he could continue to have a career. It's tough, man. I think when you deal with injuries, when you deal with those up and down seasons, man, it's tough, especially on leaders, especially on captains. They carry a lot of that, you know. So, you know, for Kyler, man, it's sometimes you need a fresh start. Right. Like, I was in Arizona my first 5 years in the league. You know, we won a lot of football games, but, you know, I had a lot of injuries. Right. And I needed a fresh start. And I think when I was able to go to Houston for that one season, you know, I was able to kind of breathe again, you know, learn myself again, learn my body again. And, you know, I think that experience helped, you know, bring me, you know, to Kansas City, right, where, you know, I had done some work. So by that time, man, I was ready. I was prepared to take that next step. And so, you know, you hope and pray that his career, you know, has that same sort of trajectory where he can understand, he can learn from his past, right? He can get a fresh start, right? And he can begin to believe in himself again and elevate, you know, organization.
Last thing I'll ask both of you guys. I need an answer out of both of you, Tyrann Mathieu and Terrell McCall. All righty, I love New Orleans. You know, I've been there for Mardi Gras. I was there for a whole week for the Super Bowl. You know, Dragos, Mothers, Irene's. Like, I love all the spots there. I used to be a whole lot bigger than I am right now. Where are you guys going? One meal in New Orleans. I'm visiting. Where are you taking me each?
Well, for me, I would take you to my sister's house, because
There we go. Home cooking.
she cook a mean gumbo, you know. She cook a mean yaki mean soup. I mean, you name it, whatever you're in the mood for, she can do it.
What's the
Now,
soup?
yaki mean.
What
So
is
it's
that?
like it's beef. It's sort of like a gravy sauce,
Oh.
if you will. It's like beef in there. You got your eggs. You got your celery. You got your onions. You know, pasta strings. And yeah, man, you could eat the whole plate and then drink the whole bowl, you know, right after. So that's amazing. But Terrell probably have a more you know, commercialized spot, because he's actually my food expert. So whenever
Okay.
I'm hungry or when I need something to eat, I always hit him up like, "Yo, what's up? What's up today?"
So Terrell, forget about the honey badger.
Yeah,
You're the food guy then. You know, he's just some average Joe in this conversation. Where are we going?
man, I probably would take you to Acme, because I fell in love with those char grilled oysters, man. Acme, and probably Ruth's Chris, man. Get a good steak. Get a
Yeah, let
good
me.
steak, the crab
Those
steaks there.
oysters, they're no joke in New Orleans. Like,
Oh
I was staying
man.
at a hotel and they were frying the oysters right in front of you. It was a sh I almost didn't leave my hotel the entire time when I was in New Orleans because I could just
Man.
watch that show.
Look, when you're down here in the bayou, it's a lot that we might offer. A
Well,
lot, you know. Beignets, daiquiris, you
yeah.
name
I always say this. I always get the double XL seat on the way back after visiting New Orleans, the extra legroom, because you're going to need it. Super Bowl champion and Louisiana native Tyrann Mathieu, along with his buddy Terrell McCall, have officially launched their new podcast, In the Bayou, and it's now streaming on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Gentlemen, good luck on the debut of the podcast. Thanks so much for doing this today. Good to chat with you.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Zachary. I appreciate it, man.
Tyrann Mathieu and Terrell McCall joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. When we come on back, why a 24-team college football playoff system would make my head explode. I give you that on the other side. I saw something earlier today that made me want to puke. Now, it's been talked about before. It has been discussed. We have even talked about it on this show before. But when I saw this today,
It was really, and I mean really gross. Ross Dellinger, in a meeting today in Charlotte, Power Conference Commissioner saw a presentation from the Big Ten on a 24-team playoff format. Sources tell Yahoo Sports. Officials agreed to keep further exploring formats beyond 12. SEC officials, as they have said publicly, support 16. Tony Petitti, I'm not your biggest fan. What the heck are we doing? The AP Top 25 this year, forget about the format, has been a complete and utter embarrassment. You have John Sumrall, who's the head football coach at Tulane. He's going to join us tomorrow, talking about how he doesn't even think his team is all that good. And this has been a really good season for Tulane. And if you look and you see that they're in the top 25, there must be a lot of average teams and some bad football being played. So we have a 12-team playoff format. I think we could all agree. The 12-team college football playoff format is fine. When they were at four, some people thought it wasn't enough. I thought it was more than enough. I thought it was a good number. I've always said I'd be willing to go to eight. But I was fearful of going to anything more than eight. With that being said, last year 12 worked. This year 12 is working as well. But to go to 14 or to go to 16, is it necessary? Heck no. Can it still be fine? Yes. If you're going to go to, you know, from 12 and increase it, I would prefer 14 because I don't want more. But if it has to be 16, okay, but then never expand again. And I said this the day that it was announced that they're going from a 14 format to 12. Think about that jump. It used to be a computer system. Then it was a two-team system. Then it was a four-team system. So you basically go from four in a playoff, first time the playoff ever was done, four, to 12. That's a huge jump. And you know why they jumped so big to 12 right away? Because they knew that they eventually wanted to expand it even further than that. If you want to go from 12 to 14, I'm not going to like it. I won't complain about it too much. If you want to go from 12 to 16, I'll say it's unnecessary. I'll say it's stupid. I'll say it's idiotic. But I won't complain about it too much. Going to 24 is just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in the history of sports. And think about this. In the proposed format that is never going to get approved, and the SEC will never approve this, the Big Ten, they want four conference representatives from the Power Four conferences. So the ACC, four teams. The Big 12, four teams. The Big Ten, four teams. The SEC, four teams. So if you're one of the Power Four conferences, you are guaranteed four spots in this 24-team iteration of the college football playoff. Then there will be two spots to the non-Power Four conferences. And then there will be six spots up for grabs. So it'd be the two non-Power League champions and then six at-large selections. So four to the SEC, four to the Big Ten, four to the ACC, four to the Pac-12, the two highest-ranked non-Power Four conference champs, and then six at-large bids. What are we doing? Seriously, so what, you're going to basically then those other six spots, well, one could be reserved for Notre Dame, and then the other five would be probably three to the SEC and two to the Big Ten or vice versa, depending on the year. So you're looking at a possibility of up to probably seven teams in from the SEC on any given year or on the Big Ten. And then the other one, I didn't mean to do this intentionally, six. And it's just too many. What are we doing? 24 teams? So the expectation is, according to Dellinger, that the 12-team format will go unchanged next season. As one commissioner's even publicly said, a deadline imposed by ESPN December 1st creeps closer while the Power League remains, the Power Leagues remain at an impasse. Now, however, those teams from the SEC, both its commissioner and university presidents, have publicly pushed back against such a model is talking about a 24-team format in favor of a 16-team format with five total automatic qualifiers and 11 at-large selections. The SEC and Big Ten must agree for a new format to be adopted. All right, let me ask you this. We'll go around the room here. Would you rather have this Fugazi, if it came down to it, 12 to, let me not put my opinion on it first, even though you basically heard it. You know, let me try to be neutral here, and I don't want to sway the opinion or alter the beliefs of Chris Persiainen or Stuart Kovacs. I want your honest beliefs on this, because maybe I'm just an idiot on this. Would you want this 24-team format? Well, let me see if I get my math right. It's four teams guaranteed to the SEC, four teams guaranteed to the Big Ten, four teams guaranteed to the ACC, four teams guaranteed to the Big 12, two of the highest-ranked non-Power Four conference champs, and then six automatic at-large bids. Would you rather have all that? I think that equals up to 24. Or would you rather have what the SEC potentially wants, which is a 16-team format, five total automatic qualifiers. I'm assuming that's the four Power Four conference champs and then the highest-ranked non-Power Four conference champion and then 11 at-large selections. Which one would you rather have? I will start with you, Stu.
I'd rather say the 12, but if I can't choose that, I will pick the 16. I just don't think 24 is necessary. 24 is just way too many.
Now let me go to Chris Persiainen. And Chris Persiainen, let me just say, the stereotypes about his generation, I do not think reflect the view and the way that I know Chris Persiainen. I think Chris Persiainen is a hard worker. I think Chris Persiainen is someone that just gets to work, puts his head down, and tries to make an impression around here. And he's impressed a lot of people here. But there's a lot of people that are 23 and 24, and I'm not that old, I'm only 31, but they just think that everything now is a participation trophy in life. So is the youngster in Chris Persiainen in favor of the 16-team format or the participation trophy contest, which would be a 24-team format? Which one?
I think a 16-team format is participation trophy coded, as you kind of alluded to there. Anything more than 16, we have completely lost the plot.
Yeah.
This is a completely different, and maybe that's okay, but they have to come out and say, we think the old product is bad, and we are going to completely replace it with a completely different thing. You can't just keep, this is a little apartment. It's got two rooms. I'm gonna annex another room. Oh, I'm going to add a bathroom. Oh, I'm going to add a library. Oh, I'm going to add a swimming pool. At some point, yeah, it started as an apartment, but it's a mansion now. You can't just keep saying, hey, this is my humble abode. So unless they're going to come out and say, listen, we don't think what we've been doing is working and we really need to change it, then they shouldn't just keep trying to squeeze in these little...
Oh, it's just greed.
We're going to interpret it as a money grab every time, because that's what it is.
You build an apartment complex, and let's say you have 8 floors, and you could have some beautiful, luxury, state-of-the-art apartments, and you're building it that way on the 8th floor, the 7th floor, the 6th floor, the 5th floor, the 4th floor, the 3rd floor, but then you get to the 2nd floor and the 1st floor. And you're like, all right, we built some beautiful apartments. But on the second and first floor, we're like, no one really wants to live in the second and the first floor. You know what? We're just going to make those apartments smaller than what we did on the previous floors and just try to jam 1,000 pounds of crap in a 500-pound suitcase. That's what you're basically trying to do by going to 24. And in the regular season, I don't think the regular season, I thought it could have been devalued by a 12-team format. The regular season has worked. You got to be 2 losses or fewer. If you get to 3, that's the line where you're on the cut line and you could maybe get in or you'll probably be out, right? You go to 24 teams and you could be talking about maybe 6 teams in from the Big Ten, 7 teams in from the SEC. It's like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, Alabama's been in for most of the year. Right? They went on this great 8-game win streak. They lose to Oklahoma. I still think Alabama's going to get it as long as they don't lose another game. But if they would have lost to Oklahoma, at least it's not even a conversation if it's 24-team format. It's like, all right, lose 5 games, and then maybe you don't get it. But I'm looking at this right now. So the playoff committee is going to come out tonight with their rankings. So if I just look at the 8 people, Ohio State's going to be ranked 1, Indiana's going to be 2, A&M's going to be 3, Georgia's going to be 4. Then Ole Miss is going to be 5, Texas Tech probably going to be 6, Oregon's probably going to be 7th. Oklahoma is going to be 8. Notre Dame's going to be 9. Alabama's probably going to be 10. And you need an ACC champ in there. And you also then need a G5 representative in there. So maybe it's like, all right, they go Miami and then whoever, North Texas or James Madison. So I didn't say BYU. I didn't say Vanderbilt. I didn't say Utah. I didn't say Georgia Tech. I didn't say USC. I didn't say Texas. I didn't say Michigan. I didn't say Virginia. I didn't say Tennessee. I didn't say Missouri. I didn't say Houston. Right? Like, those are some power conference schools that are left out of this 12-team format. If that's the way that this cookie crumbles tonight, is anyone dying to see Texas play more football this year with what we've seen? Is anyone dying to see USC play more football this year? Is anyone dying to see Missouri play more football this year? Like, what are we doing? Going to 24 teams would be so stupid. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Big Friendly is on the line, and he needs advice. Big Friendly in California next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Big Friendly, are you all right? What's happening?
Oh, man, I'm just stupendous, my man Zachary Doodah. And when I call you Zachary, that's because I believe we kinfolk. You know what I mean? But nah, so I told Chris the name of the person off air because I just didn't want a name drop.
Okay.
But I just was notified that I secured an interview, my first major interview with the hip-hop legend.
Oh, wow. So, wait, are you a podcaster, so Big Friendly?
Of course, man. I'm everything, man. Oh. Yeah.
That's why you're Big Friendly.
I do a sports podcast. I do a food review show, stuff like that. So that's why I said I could bring food to the table. But no, so I'm trying to transition to that because I do interview like restaurant owners when I do shows and stuff.
Okay.
But with this is kind of like totally different. So, you know, watching you and you guys and Magsy, I've seen you guys, you know, interview some main sports athletes. So I'm just trying to think like, so what would you give somebody advice for their first one? Like, what is something I should really pay attention to?
All right. So I'd say the two things that you need to do. Don't call them an interview. I know sometimes we call them interviews. I would look at it and approach it as if it's a conversation. You want to have the guests feel comfortable. You want to be comfortable with the guests. There may be some things that you have to ask that aren't the most pleasant or the guest doesn't want to ask. But I would approach it as if it's just a conversation. And obviously, this is a big name, so it doesn't feel always like a conversation. But if you were just on the phone with a buddy, that's how I would kind of approach it as. And then also, the biggest thing I can tell you, listen. Like, you will go in with some questions. You will have an approach and a plan. But sometimes the best interviews are done by people that are the hosts just listening, because maybe the guest will say something that is so compelling that needs a follow-up. And sometimes if you're just a robot and just go by the list of your questions, 1 through 10, you won't be listening, and then you'll miss something that is really gold. Like, I can't tell you how many interviews I've listened to where I know that the host is just doing scripted questions and is not listening. Listening is such a big thing. So just treat it as a conversation. Listen. And Big Friendly. You're Big Friendly. You got a natural charm. That means they're going to like it. It's going to be sensational. Don't be worried.
Nah, no. Real quick. Did you see the video before you let me go?
What video?
The video of me dancing for Perloff.
No. How do I find this?
Well, I know Kaplan has it, so okay. I don't know, like...
I'll text Kaplan.
You know, real quick.
I will text Kaplan right now.
We're going to get our best guys on this.
I need the video of Big Friendly shaking that. Dancing. That is what I'm sending to Cap. I'm sure that he will get back to me momentarily. Yeah. And then what's your last thing? Go ahead.
That was really it. So I truly appreciate that, Zachary Doodah. I appreciate everything, man. And hey, you know I can't pay nobody because I'm on the bottom. But you're always welcome to come on and bullcrap with us, my man. We love talking. And here's what sucks, Zachary.
Yeah.
All my co-hosts are 49er fans.
Oh, boy. You know, I'll go on there and I'll talk some smack to those dopey 49ers fans. Absolutely. And you know what? I that is a big misconception that in this business, people pay people to come on the air and be a guest. I have never paid someone to be a guest on my show. Like, if it's a weekly spot, that's different. That's sponsored and all that stuff. But just these one-time appearances or guys that have come on, like, 3 or 4 times through the years, we don't pay them. So I will not charge you, Big Friendly. It will be free of charge. You'll be on the house of the Big Friendly Bucks.
I appreciate that, Zachary. I'm just a man. I'm never going to have my hand out for free. I'm always willing to pay my way. So you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, but
well,
I
then
appreciate
you. Know what?
$700,000.
Get it together. I'll come on
well,
the show.
Well, then, Zachary, it's going to take a long time, but I got the ski mask if you keep the engine running.
There he is, the great big Friendly. Could you imagine?
Zachary-doo-dah.
National radio host arrested. Robs bank with caller. All righty, update time here, Zach. So I had a financial situation going back a week and a half ago. Nothing wrong, but I just realized something with my finances. It had my birthday listed wrong. So I had to send in this form. And it had me as if I was 5 years younger than what I actually am. And it's not one of those major things. I'm just crossing some T's, dotting some I's with something. And it's something for years and years down the road. And I go, oh, well, that's not my birthday year. You have the month and the day right, but the year is completely wrong. So I get this form that's sent to me. And it's been sitting in my inbox now for a week and a half. And I have to fill it out and attach my license with it to show that my birthday is actually in the year of 94 and not 99. When am I going to actually do that? I'm just being honest. Like, I'm just saying this on the air. So Stu, like, tells me, oh, maybe you should do this one of these days. But it has now been a week and a half that this email has been sitting in my mailbox. And I have to print out the form because I don't have a printer in my apartment. So I have to print out the form here, fill it out, and then I'll go to one of the fax machines here and fax it back to this this lovely person that's helping me out.
Yeah, you should do it.
Right? Should I do it today after the show?
I think so, yeah.
Should I? I have a call at 6:30 today after the show. I'm speaking to someone that is an aspiring broadcaster. So I want to walk home. So if I want to walk home, it takes me about 25 to 30 minutes to walk home. So maybe do I push it off to tomorrow?
Maybe tomorrow to do it, yeah.
And what's tomorrow? Tomorrow's a Wednesday. I got a few.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
More meetings once. Could we push for Thursday? I think I'm free on Thursday. Let me look at my schedule here real quickly. Yeah. Tuesday, I got meetings. Wednesday, I got meetings after the show. Thursday, I'm in the open. Stu, I'm putting this on you.
I was going to say, you should have Sam to remind you.
Yeah. I think we'll see Mike in about 7 months. I'm just kidding. But anyway, I'm going to say on Thursday, please remind me. All right, just be a good friend.
Sounds good.
Survive and say, you got to do this form. It's not good not to complete this form. And then I'll probably print it out Thursday, and then away we go. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Steve's in Kansas City. He wants to talk about this 2014 college football playoff format that's being proposed by the Big Ten. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, buddy. First-time caller. I just want to say, I look at it from this standpoint. I'd rather watch those teams that get in the 24 play a meaningful game than play a meaningless bowl game where half the players may not even play. And really, that's all I got to say on that, and I'll hang up and listen what you got to say about it.
You know
thanks,
what?
Buddy.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call, and thanks for calling for the first time. It's interesting. I did not think about it that way. I am vehemently against a 24-team format. I think it's too many teams. But let's say if, I don't know, Virginia gets in on this format. And let's say Missouri gets in on this format. If the Virginia regular season is over and the Missouri regular season is over and both those teams are going to bowl games, Virginia right now is 9-2, Missouri is 7-3. And let's say they're going to, I don't know, the the Pop-Tart the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Everyone's favorite.
Jinx, you owe me a ginger ale. The Pop-Tart Bowl. They brought it to that. Stu doesn't usually get excited when there's like big things that happen around here.
That was
here.
A great day.
The day they brought in the Pop-Tart Bowl trophy, Stu was mesmerized by it. So let's say, you know, Missouri goes to the Pop-Tart Bowl and Virginia goes to the Cheez-It Bowl. If you're a guy that's going to the draft, are you going to play in the Pop-Tart Bowl or the Cheez-It Bowl? Most likely no. So for those schools and for that way, I could understand why someone want to go to the 2014 format. But I think you're watering down the college football playoff, which I don't want to do. And then also, I don't know how this would play on out on a bracket. What did we hear was a major gripe last year from some of these teams that were on the bye? The wait, the layoff. You had 30 days Oregon had to wait from the Big Ten championship to playing their first college football playoff game. Now, even if they played that game 15 days earlier, I don't think it would have mattered because no one was going to beat Ohio State that night in the teams that were in college football last year. It just wasn't happening. Ohio State was on, and when Ohio State was on last year, they won. So how long are these other teams that are better going to have to wait to make sure that all these other teams are good to go and they get taken care of because it's a survive and you advance type of tournament? Because I do imagine that there's some bye in the structure. But do we need to see four ACC teams in? Do we need to see four Big 12 teams in? And do we even need to see six or seven SEC or Big 10 teams? That was a really sad six or seven when I did that. Six, seven. Do we really need to see six or seven Big 10 or six or seven SEC teams in? No, we don't. We don't. Come on. You know what you should do, Percy? I know Percy Einan's huge with social media. You should do a video of all the six or seven references that I made today.
It's taking me 40 minutes at this point.
Yeah, honestly, it may take you 3 hours. Maybe we should, instead of renaming our network the Infinity Sports Network, we should have just been the 6-7 Network. We could have been on to something. We only air maybe from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. and then call it a day. I don't think J.R. Bart would like that or Pat Boyle. But that would be something. That definitely would be something.
So I guess in this scenario, there would be 8 byes and then 9.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because it would be 9 through 24 would play to get it to 16. And then you would have then the 16th team playoff and then all the way down to line.
Let me tell you what, brother. I'm not in the 2014 format. There will be people, though, around. Like Hickey. I bet you Hickey would be a 2014 format guy. You want to know who Ryan Hickey thinks is going to be the next Penn State head coach? Hickey's been like down in the dumps the last few weeks just because of the Penn State thing, but I think he's starting to get over what happened this year and he's coming to grips with it. So I talked to Hickey and I said, all right, let's say Lane Kiffin stays at Ole Miss. I don't think Lane's even going to be in consideration for Penn State anyway. It said they're going to be Ole Miss, Florida, LSU at this rate. He's an SEC guy. Let's just say Eli Drinkwitz, I threw out there, goes to Florida or LSU instead of staying at Missouri and doesn't go to Penn State because Eli Drinkwitz has been rumored for Penn State. Who do you think is going to be the next head coach? He goes, Kalen DeBoer.
I don't know about that hot take, Hickey.
That was without hesitation. It was Kalen DeBoer. And his reasoning is, all right, if they miss the playoff, then Kalen DeBoer may want to leave, which, okay, they got to miss the playoff. Like, don't they play Eastern Illinois, I think? And then they play Auburn, which is practically Eastern Illinois anyway. So Hickey's going to be rooting for Auburn to beat Alabama. So I said to him, just put out a video that Alabama's going to beat Auburn by 50 points. Then DeBoer will get fired, and then boom, maybe he goes to Penn State. So Hickey's all in on Kalen DeBoer to Penn State. I think he'll stay at Alabama because they're going to make the college football playoff.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.